Luke 24, if you will, a very familiar portion of Scripture for us this morning, and you know where we're going today, and thank God that we can celebrate today the risen Savior. Wonderful account given to us. Notice, if you will, verse number 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute, but the preparation for the wrong thing. You ever been there? They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Now, he'll talk about this later as well, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them, notice, as idle tales. And they believed them not. Then arose Peter, ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. An amazing story and account given to us of this great resurrection morning. I want you to think about this very thing today. As these people came to the tomb and expected something, they got something else, didn't they? I said a little while ago, I think it was a few weeks ago, one of the biggest things that causes separation, especially in marriage and other places, is that of false expectations. I expected you to do this and that. I expected you to be this and that. And what happens? We don't feel that. We don't fulfill that. And the world today is full of people that are roaming the streets and walking this old dusty earth with what? Expectations that really never happened. And these dear people come to this tomb and they find it empty and they're confused. And the Bible uses a word perplexed thereabout. Perplexity. I'm confused about a lot of things in life. I know maybe some of you are as well, but I don't understand how things work. I don't get it. I don't know how that is. I mean, we just shot a rocket up into the sky, and do we know if they're up? We don't know. Do we know if they're going to get to the moon? Who knows? We've got this side of conspiracy theories. We got this side that says it is. We've got a lot of things going on today that we don't know a lot about, but I want to remind you, we don't understand tomorrow, but we know he's already in your tomorrow. We understand that he's in control, and he always has been, and he always will be. Now, thinking about this, you ever gone looking for something and couldn't find it? You ever had your glasses on your head looking for your glasses? Don't raise your hand. You ever gone to the fridge and forgot why you were there, so you just eat anyways? Praise the Lord for that. I told my wife last night, she made some, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like Mexican soup, and it's got this meat in it and all potatoes and all. Man, it was the bomb. You know, it was great. It was awesome. And I said, could I get another bowl of that? She said, sure. And then I said, could I get one more bowl? And she said, no. I said, what? She cut me off. I couldn't handle it. I said, I have full control, honey. You can trust me. She says, no, you don't. You have no control. Okay. You ever been somewhere or done something and expecting this? And I like what he says here, or the angels in response. Again, notice, if you will, verse number 6, they say, he is not here, but is risen. And then here it is, underline this in your Bible, remember. If you're like me, I don't remember. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Do you know there's going to be thousands of Christians on that great judgment day that are going to go, I didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't know I was supposed to do this. I didn't know I was supposed to be prepared. And God says, I have given you written word. I have given you ample warning. Why you seek the living among the dead? The tomb was empty. Death was defeated. Jesus was alive. And yet they could not grasp and understand that. Can I say a few things this morning? One, I want you to notice this, that it didn't go according to plan. The plan was thwarted. The plan was away. Now notice, and I like this, Psalm 62, verse 5. Psalm 62, 5. My soul, when wait thou only upon God, and then notice what he says, for my expectation is from him. My expectation is from him. I like this psalmist because he's speaking to himself. Do you ever talk to yourself? My soul? He's correcting himself. By the way, it's okay to correct yourself. It's okay to actually talk to yourself. Hey, let's calm down. Let's pull it together. Let's relax. Everything's under control. No need to get upset. You think about this. He says, listen, I want you to understand something, soul, self. My expectation is from him. I'm waiting with full expectation from God. I'm waiting for him. He'll do it. He'll provide. He'll open the door. Now, life often seems this way, unexpected, confusing. I read the story of the fella that got a puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle at the thrift store. He took it home. Well, obviously, it came in a bag, and it wasn't in the box. And what do you do when you buy a puzzle? You buy a puzzle, and you set the box up, propped up on the table, and you reference the picture. Well, he got about halfway. He could not figure out where these pieces go. He was utterly confused. No picture, no reference. Now think about this. Jesus gave them a reference point. Jesus told them on at least three occasions prior to this that he was going to be arrested, he was going to be beaten, he was going to be crucified, and oh, he would rise again the third day. Did anybody listen? No. You know, I think about we go through life sometimes like that poor fella at the thrift store. Bag of pieces to a puzzle. Where did this go, Lord? I don't know. What do we do? Where do we go? How do we handle it? Sickness and illness and pain and separation, financial woes. On top of all of that, what's going on in the world today? Unrest and other things. Jesus said, hey, look at me. Come on back. Come on back. You know, you look in the face of Jesus right here. He's the Word made flesh. Here's your reference point. Come on back to this point and you will figure out. Now listen, you don't know all of the pieces, but you will begin to understand and see where each piece goes. My friends, can I remind you at the end of all of this, at the day you breathe your last breath, you'll stand before Jesus Christ to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. As soon as you can blink and as quick as you can breathe in, that's how quickly you'll be in the presence of the Lord. And when you do, he will make all things right, but also he will let you see how everything unfolded in your life. And it'll make sense. And he'll show us, Tim, if you would have gone down road A there, this is what you would have had. You took a detour and came back, and I gave you this, and I blessed your life and allowed you to come back into the will of God. But look what you missed here. Whereas he'll say, and you did a great job over here going down road B, and you saw the fruit of that. And you saw the challenges that came. And Lord, I'm following your will. I'm doing what you want me to do. And there's still trials and troubles and challenges, right? We all feel that way. And why, Lord? He says, well, if I would have given you that check for 1.5, no. If I would have given you that money, if I would have given you what you want, you would have ruined your life. You would have blown it, boy. You would have messed that thing up. Okay, so we see here the plan, the perplexity. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Listen, he shall direct thy paths. Doesn't say might direct. Hey, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you might. Hey, go across that bridge, and it should hold you up. No. What's he saying? Trust in the Lord. The problem is we don't do our part, but we expect Jesus to do his part. And I don't mean to be harsh this morning, but you are so spiritually anemic. I'm not talking to any of you today, but there are so many that are so spiritually anemic. There's no time in the Word. There's no church attendance. There's no meditation in the things of God. And we wonder why we're where we are emotionally and spiritually. Why? We didn't do our part. Trust in the Lord. Trust is not easy. Trust is hard. Trust is challenging. Trust is difficult. Just trust me. We did that thing at camp, you know, where you got the kids behind everyone, or the kids in the back, and you have one person stand and they cross their arms, and then they do the trust fall. They fall back. I ain't doing that. They tried to get me to do that. I said, I'm not trusting this 200-pound body to a bunch of teenagers or little kids. Okay. These girls, these 100-pound girls and boys. No, it's not going to happen. It's going to end badly, and I don't have insurance for that, by the way. Okay. You think about this now. He says, listen, life doesn't go expected. Life doesn't always turn out the way you want it. The problem is my point of view, my understanding's not right. It's mine, not his. Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, know what that means. He's the author. He wrote your story. But also notice this, he's the finisher of it. And if you'll do things God's way, his will, seeking him, he will finish the story. Amen and amen. This is how life feels sometimes. These people ran to the tomb. You know the story. The ladies run, and I love that video. She says, Peter, just two words, it's empty. Now, what does that mean for them? Praise God. Oh, I remember what Jesus said. I remember what he said. Oh, yeah. No, what was it? It's empty. Oh. They stole his body. It's empty. They took his body. Peter and John, in the Gospel of John, run to the tomb. And you remember the story, John outruns Peter. And he gets there, and they're running there. Why? Because they believed his body had been stolen and taken. Not that he rose again. Not that he was the powerful, almighty Son of God that had the power to give his life, he said himself. But he also has the power to what? Raise his life. To live again. No. See, we find here the disappointment, the challenges that came. Now, verse 11 again. Their words seemed, notice, as idle tales. Idle. Now, I want to point something out to you. Later, Peter himself will say something of this nature. He says, we were eyewitnesses of his glory. Now remember, Peter was the one. The ladies come back and tell Peter about what happened, and to him it was an idle tale. That's a fantasy made-up story you read to your kids at night. He'll say, we were eyewitnesses of his glory, and he uses this terminology. He says, these are not cunningly devised fables that we're telling you. These are not idle tales we're telling you. This is Peter now in his old age preaching to the local church. These are not made up stories, fables, if you will. Oh, friends, I want you to notice, secondly, the turnaround. Here's a man that doubted. Here's a man that was fearful. But now, notice, in his later years, Peter is what? Preaching the word. And he's faithful. And he says, now I know. We were eyewitnesses to this very thing. The doors were locked. The disciples later were being fear, you know. They're hiding in that upper room, and they're scared of what was going to happen next. But we also see that that fear turned to joy. That silence would later turn into a boldness to go forward and to preach the gospel. Now think about this. It's a great turnaround for most people. You can live today without fear, but with joy. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That delight is an excitement to be in the things of God. No longer do I look for a high in the pill, a high in the drink, a high in this or that. I look for that delight in God. I like being with the Lord. I like spending time with him in scripture, in prayer. One author said that we would be looked at by the world as peculiar, weird, strange even. Why? Because we're zealous of good works. We're excited to do the things of God. Oh, thinking about it. The fear turned to joy. The silence, the cowering in the upper room turned to what? Boldness now. Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3. Read it. It's amazing. Are these not these men that were unlearned and uneducated men? But now what? They're turning the world upside down. Later, they would be arrested and beaten, and Peter and John come out of that, and they're rejoicing that they were counted worthy because their naysayers say this, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. You know, you spend time with Jesus, it shows. You spend time with the Lord, it comes out of your mouth. What you say and how you say it. It comes out of your spirit and an attitude. I was laughing the other day and we were talking and one of my girls and they were just kind of down. I could tell. And I said, what's wrong? And of course the response was nothing. Now I'm telling the story because they're not in here. So they used to say, Dad, don't use us as illustrations. That's embarrassing. And I said, what's wrong? Nothing. I said, did you not sleep well? Well, I slept fine. I said, okay, everything okay? Everything's fine. I said, maybe you're hungry. I'm not hungry. I said, let me get you something to eat. I don't want nothing to eat. I said, let me go. So I went and got her something out of the pantry and got it, made it for her, and she reluctantly sat there and ate it. All of a sudden, kind of spruced up, got better. Feeling pretty good. I said, boy, you take after me. Amen. You take after. Hangry, boy, hangry. How many get hangry? No, don't raise your hand. Okay. And it's just a turnaround. It's just something different. And I'm the same, boy, I need something. I need something to eat, boy. And you get me some of that green chili and breakfast burrito, and I'm feeling great now. There's a turnaround. I was thinking about that. These people had a great turnabout from fear to excitement, from cowering to boldness and courage, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, he says this, and you know this verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Do you know the rest of it? The PLS, power, love, and a sound mind. So when you have fear, there's healthy fear. We know we ought to fear the Lord. There's certain things we ought to fear. When cruising past the other day and the sheriff is sitting there, there's a fear. You instantly let off the pedal like that's going to help, you know. And you sit up, I sit up straight. I don't know why that. There's a healthy fear, but that fear, that anxiety, that depression, that wringing of the hands of what do we do now in the upper room there? We're scared. There's something. I don't know where his body is. The women came and we're scared. We're trying to figure everything out. I mean, what do we do now? That's not from God. That fear of tomorrow, that's not from God, friend. That's of your own flesh and that's of our adversary. And the world, the flesh, and the devil, our three enemies, are so good at pushing those buttons, aren't they? Push those little buttons, the what-ifs of life. And what happens? No. I know that's not from God because he's given me power and love and a sound mind, a disciplined mind, a correct mind. That word sound means with integrity. We have inspectors and others that when you finish a house and build a home or a building, they come in and they check the structure if it's what? Sound. Structurally sound. Now we know that. There's a right mind there. The world today has a false mind. It's deluded. It's delusional. Okay. What they find today, they woke up this morning with the expectation of getting the next drink or the next high and watching their favorite ball game. That's what they're looking forward to. That's delusional. We have a sound mind. Okay, let me hasten here a few more points. He uses and works this. I have 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. In fact, go there with me if you will. I love these verses. 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about this victory we have. Notice what he says here. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Notice this. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we've studied this portion of Scripture, but it's a present tense victory. It's not past. You will have victory. Ye shall have victory. Thanks be unto God, which will give us the... No, what is it? That giveth us present tense victory. Now think about that. Why? Because what he said, he overcame the grave. He overcame death for us. The victory is now. We don't walk around just skipping our feet and jovial and happy all the time. No, that's not life. Life is tough. Life is hard. We're beat up and beat down. But we can, notice, have the victory within. I am challenged today. I'm frustrated today. I'm discouraged maybe. I'm defeated, but I know I have the victory in Jesus. Everything will be just fine. Notice that. Oh, death, where is your sting? There's no more of that. Death stings, it hurts, but it does not take. We know that. We see it. He's the victor. This is not fiction, it's reality. Jesus is alive. Now, how many know there's always a hero in every story? And we know Chuck Norris just recently died. How many know that? That was sad. I like Chuck Norris. He's a good guy. And all the memes and jokes about Chuck Norris. Okay. They said he only had one stunt double, and that was for the crying scenes. Amen. Okay. And there's a million of them on the internet. Okay. But Chuck, man, every time you got a problem in those movies, and he'd come in, and you know everything would be just fine, man. Everything will be just fine. It'll be all right. That roundhouse kick to the face, it'll be good. There's a hero in that. And we're looking for a hero. We're looking for somebody to help us. I talked to somebody just recently, and they said this, not specifically or the exact words. They said, I just need somebody to help me. Help me. They weren't talking about come help them move, you know, come and help them pick up, come help them at work. They were talking about spiritually, emotionally. I need someone to help me. And oh, how many people today are like that. They just need help. They need somebody there to encourage and strengthen and guide them. My friends today, I don't mean to sound cliche, but we have that hero, that strength, that Savior in Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, we know that. I have many verses, but I must keep going here. The stone was rolled away. The victory was shown. Mark 16, you don't have to turn there, but just for this, it says, the ladies come and say, who shall roll the stone away for us? Who's going to, remember they're walking up and going, wait, Mary, hang on. We forgot about one thing. What's that? There's a giant boulder in front of this tomb. Who's going to roll it away for us? Who's going to handle that? Oh, it was already rolled away. It was already there. Looking up, they looked up and notice they saw the stone had been rolled away or rolled back. You think about this. How many things do we stress over and worry over that God's already handled? He's already got it under control. But I want to encourage you with this. You must be in the will of God, doing the work of God in order for you to have that confidence. If I'm not where I'm supposed to be spiritually, if I'm sinful, impure, other things of that nature, fickle, fake, never around, never dependent, God can never use me. And I go, oh, Lord, I'll take care of tomorrow. No, we don't have that confidence, do we? It's a fret and a fear. The ladies being confused about what had happened, not heeding the words of God that he would rise again, what happened? There was fear. There was worry. There was anxiety. How many throughout Scripture worried of the same thing? Abraham and Sarah came and said, well, God must not be doing his part. He promised a precious son, a promised seed, but it's still not happening. Abraham, go on into the concubine. Go on into my servant. Abraham said, okay. Out of that, we have today still fighting among those two brothers, don't we? Isaac and Ishmael. We have others that distrusted the Lord and said, I can't do it. Jonah was commanded to go forth to the Ninevites and preach. And by the way, it was the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And he preached literally a two-sentence message. Jonah was reluctant. I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. God said, oh, what I have in store for you if you would have just prioritized my way, my thinking. Oh, we could go through the story after story of people that distrusted, would not believe God, and were worried about the most minor, minute thing when God said, I've already got it handled. I've already have it. I know many people today struggle with something like that. Some people have OCD. Don't raise your hand. Did I lock the door? Did I turn off the burner? Did I shut the iron off? No, I won't say that joke. Okay, let's keep going. That would not be good. Father knows what you have. Philippians 4, verse 6, and so on. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Did I get the right one? Oh, yes. and the God of peace. Do you have the next one? Which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word careful means worry or fear. I'm careful. I don't know what to do next. I have that. Don't be careful for those things. Bring them to the Lord and literally let God, Lord, I give this to you. It's kept me up too many nights. I have too much anxiety. I have too much pressure. I give it to you. And notice what he does. The peace of God comes and it keeps your heart and your mind. Your heart is a control center of the body. Intellect, emotion, and will are contained inside of what we call our heart. It's not the organ beating in our chest. It's the heart, the spiritual side. And your mind is your mind. It's the thinking part of you. That's what messes us up so often. The emotional side and the thinking side. When you give it to God, when you trust Him with it, the ladies come and say, who will roll the stone away? What are we going to do about that? It's already been done. It's already been handled. Father knows what you have need of before you even ask, He says. That's what Jesus said. Easter reminds us of this. And let me say this lastly. We see the power of the resurrection. The power. The resurrection is not only symbolic, it's much more than that. It is victory over death itself. Back, if you will, verse number 5. And as they were afraid. You ever been afraid? Yeah. You ever been fearful? Sure. Bowed down their faces to the earth, said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Oh, my friends, we go out throughout the Bible from the beginning to the end, and God's people have a nasty habit of forgetting of what God has done for them. We become ungrateful. Well, I don't know how the Lord's going to do it this time. Well, remember back several years ago, you were sitting in a waiting room pleading with God, and He came through. Remember years back when you were in excruciating pain and you pleaded with God to help you and He brought you through? I mean, God is faithful, friends. God will provide. The nation of Israel forgot God. God repeatedly in the Old Testament says, I want you, Moses, to tell the people this, and then He gives a reason. Else they forget. What's He saying? They will forget what I've done. They will forget the blessings and the provisions and all that I've done. Romans 6 and verse 9. Christ being raised from the dead. Death hath no more dominion. Christ being raised from the dead. Dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine your God, who you put all your trust in, all your faith in, all your hopes in, that was fallible, that could possibly die, that could possibly be taken and killed by sinful men? There's no hope in that. That's no hero. That's no savior. Oh, but listen, he overcame death. He willingly offered himself to his captors to fulfill the word of God. He was never passive. He was never taken and forced to the cross. Never. In fact, in the garden, we understand, he had to remind the mob of what they were supposed to do because they didn't even know what to do. He said, you're supposed to arrest me now. I willingly go with you now. He could have literally blown them into oblivion with his very words. That's the power he possessed, being the Son of God. But he didn't. What did he do? He allowed himself to go. He willingly went to the cross. Oh, I love it. Jesus says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth in me shall live. Shall live. That's the word today. That's the final outcome. My friends, today, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, He's offering you a free gift. He's offering you new life today. Because He lives, we too can live. We too. Friends, we already know the end of the story. We already know the end of the game. Boy, I wish growing up playing sports, I would have known already we were going to win this game or lose this game. It had taken all the pressure off. Which usually we lost, but it's taking all the pressure off. or racing dirt bikes and other things that we used to do. Man, knowing that, taking all the pressure off. I already know I'm going to lose. I already know I'm going to win. I already know what's going to happen. And yet Christians today don't know that. They walk around so defeated in this world because they don't know this book. Oh, what a convicting thought to myself. The final outcome is not uncertainty. The final outcome is certainty. We serve the risen Savior. Today you are forgiven. Today you are made new. You have a new hope in life. Can I encourage you this year to go forth from this Resurrection Sunday with new hope, new goals of spiritual growth? We have a whole list of things. I want to grow financially. I want to grow in this area, in that area. But no spiritual section of my priority list. I want to grow spiritually. I'm going to spend not 5 minutes every morning, but 10 minutes in prayer. I'm not going to read 2 chapters. I'm going to read 4 chapters. I'm not going to memorize 1 verse. I'm going to memorize several verses this coming week or month. I'm going to make it a point to be faithful to God's house every Sunday, every Wednesday, or whenever they have a service. I'm going to do my part to shut off that which is filth and flesh and dirty and turn on which is holy and righteous. That's some good goals we could make. I want to tell you something. When you stand before Christ, you will not regret one of those decisions. You know what I am going to regret? Focusing on money, focusing on self, focusing on pleasure, focusing on that which I want to do. No, friends, you and I have hope. We can today start fresh, start new. The Bible is very clear with us. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know, again, I look around and I'm preaching to the choir today. I know that. But we've got people that we all know, people that we're associated with, don't know the gospel. They're lost. And lost is a very weak word to use. They're much more than that. They're stooped in sin. They're in bondage to the world. And listen, today we can't have a part in bringing them out of darkness into what the Bible says is His marvelous light. We know that. Now let me wrap it up here. I'll be done. Thank you for listening. He's not here. He's risen. He's risen. Now they go through this story, and I wish I had more time to go through all of chapter 24 because it's amazing. And you know the story. He talks about it. These two that are on the road to Emmaus. Verse 25, just to wrap it up, he says unto them, this is Jesus after the resurrection. He says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Question mark. Still confused. And verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning Moses. Doesn't say that, does it? What's it say? Concerning himself. You know the writings of Moses? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy, the prophets, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. That's the entire Old Testament. Jesus shows them in every book of the Old Testament himself. Oh, Jesus Christ was never in the Old Testament. You can't find. That's the foolishness of our world today, and people don't know the Christ. They're not excited about the risen Savior today. They don't know the Scriptures. They don't know the Word. Today, do you know the Word? Today, do you know the personal Savior that you can have and should have? Well, He's risen indeed. I want to encourage you with this today. Look up, friends. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. It's not much time, very little time here today. You and I don't know if this week is our last week on earth. We don't know if Jesus could return and take us home tomorrow. Could be 10 years, 20 years, 100 years from now. I don't know. Whatever it is, we're trusting the Lord. But we say, Lord, we believe you. We trust you. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God who is with us here present today. We believe in the omnipresence of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. He is here with us, and he's with thousands of other churches around this world today. We know that. We believe in the omnipotence of God. He's all powerful. Jesus says that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, by the way, because of that power, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore and share the gospel, preach the word, live for Christ because of that power. We believe in many things, the eternality of God and all of the attributes which he possesses today. My friends, there's no fear. There's no uncertainty. There's no loss. We're on the winning side. Okay? We have the victory. Now let's start acting like victorious people. Not cocky, proud, and arrogant. Victorious. Dear young lady today, you can live victorious. Problems have come in your life. You've made some bad decisions. But listen, you can have victory in him. New life. Renewed life. Young man, you can have the same. Decisions have been made. Problems have been, we've all gone there. New life. Why? Up from the grave he arose. We don't serve a dead God. Grandma, grandpa, dad, mom, new life. Why? Buddhists today serve a dead God, by the way, whose bones they have, who worship and kiss a statue, by the way, an ugly statue. Hindus worship, they don't even have a number on it, millions of gods, millions. They don't even have it. They make up a new God all the time. God of the chair, God of the table, God of that rock, not that rock, that rock. Millions of them. They don't even know what they serve. Oh, friends today, Confucianism and others, the bones are there. Our Savior is risen. He is God Almighty. He is true. He's the risen Savior. We serve a God that is living, not a dead God, and we're on the winning side. And we one day, very soon, I believe, are going to get to see the culmination of it all. Amen and amen. I have more, but I better stop right there. I appreciate all of you. Would you stand with me, please, and we'll just have a few verses of invitation. I know you all know this. That's why you're here today, that we have victory in Christ. Some of you have actually put your own lives on the line because of your Christianity. Some of you work among very ungodly people and you have been persecuted by that company or by those people that turn on you because of your faith in Christ. And I acknowledge that and I thank God for that and for your faithfulness. But today, I hope to reinvigorate, I hope to renew, I hope to recharge, if you will, that battery. We get beaten down and we're weary, don't we, in life? Hey, listen, don't forget about this. We serve a living God. We serve the living Savior. No one can take that from us. Miss Dunn, would you play just a few verses? If the Lord spoke into your heart today, would you take some time in prayer there? The altar is always open. If you know not the Lord as your personal Savior, once again, one of us would love to take the Bible and show you how to make sure you're saved today. Would you please?